If you're driving on the back roads of almost any street in the United States for, say, 4 miles, you're going to see a great diversity of churches, among which most are, the Californians say, Christians. We from the East Coast, we call them Protestants, okay? So maybe next time you're just driving down Knott or Beach Boulevard or Westminster, you can notice that every 3 blocks there's a church, because America is basically a Christian nation, at least it used to be. But every church is different. This came about in the 16th century with what is called the Protestant Reformation, starting in England with Henry VIII, then in Germany with Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther the Augustinian priest, in Switzerland with Calvin, Zwingli, and Melanchthon. Those are the big guns of the Protestant Reformation. And there are probably about 40,000 different splinters in this Protestant religion, 40,000 different interpretations of the Bible. Maybe that's a long-winded intro to the topic I'd like to expound upon this evening. So I think the best way for us to understand the topic is by telling a very famous vision of a great saint, of John Bosco. I notice that there's a woman here who has a sweatshirt with Bosco on it, okay? I think Maria's got one of her sons that's going to St. John Bosco in Bellflower, right? Great saint. Among many of his gifts, he had what are called the famous dreams. And I invite you to go to 10 publishers and read some of the famous dreams of John Bosco. Now, the most famous dream, very pertinent to the topic that we're talking about this evening, is the dream of the huge ship. The huge ship being tossed at sea. So you got a huge ship, big boat, and that ship is being surrounded by smaller boats with cannons, and they're shooting the cannonball at the big ship with the intention of sinking the ship. And there were a lot of them. Now on the ship, you have the sailors. And the sailors have a captain. Now the captain is standing in the front of the ship, overlooking the sea. And he's seeing all the danger that's surrounding the ship. And the sailors are behind him. Then all of a sudden, these two pillars, or columns, seem to ascend from the midst of the sea. And they're going up and up and up and up. Then they stop. But one is a little bit higher than the other. These majestic towers or columns. And the captain of the ship is looking at this. And by means of interior inspiration, he reveals he received the conviction that he has to make a concerted effort to try to direct the ship in between the two pillars. And if he's successful in doing that, the ship and the sailors will be saved. So after concerted effort, he's able to direct the ship in between the two pillars. Then the ship arrives safe on the shore. And then he attaches the ship with these huge chains to these two pillars. And the captain and the sailors are able to disembark safe and sound on the shore. Now, if you ever want to explain the Catholic faith to anyone, this is one of the best images. On the top of one of those columns was an image of Mary. Mary, the patron of the Salesians, which would be Our Lady, Help of Christians. But above that, on the higher pillar, could be seen the monstrance, the Blessed Sacrament. So let me give the interpretation so all of you can use this as a catechetical vehicle by which you can catechize people. And maybe what you can do, download it, laminate it, make 100 copies and give it away. Give it away. There you're waiting on the line at Ralph's or Vaughn's, there's someone in front of you, give it to the person. You got 10 minutes, why don't you try to catechize that person in front of you? You're at the school, give it to the person. You go to the Chinese, Vietnamese New Year, a big party, okay, give it to some of the people there. But then explain it. Because our religion, if it's not explained, can easily degenerate into superstition. How many superstitious Catholics out there, that are filled with erroneous ideas and the cobwebs of their intellect? Interpretation. The tempestuous, the tumultuous sea is symbolic of the world in which we live. The world and the many dangers that surround us. Materialism, consumerism, hedonism, agnosticism, socialism, communism, dogmatic atheism, and one of the biggest dangers and poisons within the church, moral relativism. That's the sea. That's the world in which we live in the United States of America. A very, very dangerous, tempestuous sea in which we can easily drown. We don't know how to navigate the ship properly. What is the ship? What do we celebrate today? We celebrate Peter. It's the bark of Peter. It's the bark of Peter. My friends, the church is going through tough times. We've never gone through more difficult times in the history of Catholicism as what we're going through right now. Never. Never. We're living in very difficult times. But stay in the ship. Don't jump overboard, otherwise the sharks are going to eat you alive. Stay in the ship. Stay in. Did any of you ever read the book of Genesis where you encountered Noah in the ark? Who was saved? Those inside the ark or those outside the ark? Hello? Those inside the ark, they were saved. That's symbolic of the Catholic Church. Can you imagine being in that ark for 40 days with those animals? It must have stunk high heaven, okay? Were the animals going to the bathroom there, huh? Very poor ventilation. It must have stunk high heaven, as they say. But they were saved. Whereas those outside the ship, they drowned. The people and all the animals, they were drowned by the flood, by the deluge. So stay inside the ship of the church. None of you, don't change your religions. Don't become Jehovah's Witness. Don't become a Baptist. Don't become a Muslim. Stay inside the church. And instead of criticizing the church for its defects, you become a saint. Amen? Like Saint Ignatius. Easier to point your finger, huh? Now look at this. It's interesting. When you're pointing your finger, there are three fingers pointing right back to you.
Uh-huh.
You ever think about that? If you go like this, one is pointing out, the three are pointing to your own heart. We have to first change our own lives. Amen? Let's go on with the interpretation. The captain is symbolic of Peter. Peter is the Pope. All of us have to love the Pope. Pray for the Pope. Defend the Pope. Get to know the Pope. Irrespective of his language, his nationality, his pastoral style, we have to love the Pope. But I'd like to tell you something. We have never had in the history of the Church a Pope that has been more misinterpreted than Pope Francis. You hear me? Never in the history of the Church has there been a Pope that has been more misinterpreted than the Pope. In other words, he's pulled out of context. 4 years I studied English literature, the language, as well as literature. So I know a little bit about English. A little bit, anyway. G.K. Chesterton. G.K. Chesterton, one of the greatest writers in the Catholic Church from England, said this. Little knowledge is dangerous. Little knowledge is dangerous. In other words, reading something partially is very dangerous. You have to be able to read the whole context and interpret it properly. We have a New York saying, you can't know the book by its cover. You just got the title La Portada in Spanish. You can't know the book. You got to read the book. You can't say you're an expert in Shakespeare if you haven't written Macbeth and King Lear and Othello and Romeo and Juliet. You can't be an expert unless you've read it in detail. So Pope Francis is easily pulled out of context. So love this Pope. Defend the Pope. Listen to his homilies. Read his encyclicals. Follow his trips. And defend the Holy Father. Because as Saint Catherine of Siena said, she said that he is the sweet vicar of Christ on earth. You want to see Jesus Christ? It's in the presence of the Pope. So anyone that badmouths the Pope, put up your dukes and fight back. This is the very heart of the charism of the Oblates. For us as Oblates, this feast day is very important for us. That's the foundation of our order, Congregations Oblates, is really defending the truth which is expressed through the Pope and the Magisterium. Otherwise, it's a moral freefall, which moral relativism is going to reign, and everyone follows his own subjective truth. And we're going to end up like Protestants. You're going to be one of the 40,000 Protestants here in the United States. I hope you don't become a Protestant. Stay in the Catholic Church. Now the Pope lifts up his gaze. What does he see? He sees two pillars. These are the two pillars by which are going to lead us safely to the shore. One pillar is the Blessed Mother. The other pillar is the Blessed Sacrament. So if you see that picture, maybe you can Google it into your computer tonight, and there's a lot of different versions of it. You're going to see that the pillar of Mary is lower than the pillar of Jesus in the monstrance. Very theologically correct. Why? Because we don't put Mary above Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Mary is the Mother of God. And you see, Mary's got her hands folded, and she's looking at Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament with love and humility and devotion. So it's a beautiful dream. It's a beautiful vision. If you ever want to teach anyone the essence of Catholicism, that dream of John Bosco is about the best you have out there. So the sea is the world. The ship is the Catholic Church. The crew members are ourselves. The captain is the Pope. And the two pillars that are going to bring us safely home is love for Mary and love for the Eucharist. And the ship arriving at shore is all of us arriving safely at our heavenly home that we call heaven. So hopefully you'll all remember this dream. You'll study it. You'll make copies. You'll make laminate them. And you'll start to become an apostle of the Catholic Church. Amen.